about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
On the fighting side of me.
Running down with life, I'm fighting in the heart of God's feet. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah,
walking on the fighting side of me.
Running down with life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man, you walk in on the crack beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's, sorry, that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots of news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, interesting day today. I was in downtown Toronto for much of the day with a couple of newfound allies and friends from Hamilton, or the Hammer, as it's called locally. We were there at a protest staged by a Christian group called Citizen Go. And the protest was outside the Toronto offices of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or otherwise known as the CBC. And the protest was about a show called Drag Kids. Yeah, Drag Kids. Now, if you think you know what that is, you're probably right. Drag Kids is a show about children dressed up as the opposite sex, usually little boys dressed up as girls, hence the, you know, Drag Kids. And here's a a statement from Citizens Go, which is organized by a fellow named David Cook. And this was the statement calling people out to this protest today. Are you prepared to fight for your children and grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, the children of your church or community? Would you stand up for the children of our nation? Well, I think a fair number of us answered that with a resounding yes. If you won't, who will? For nearly 2 months, tens of thousands of Canadians like you have been bombarding the CBC, that's the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, over their irresponsible and unapologetic promotion of the show Drag Kids. 21,000 people have already signed our petition. Drag Kids is a documentary which presents a new and dangerous trend, the use of young and impressionable children, mostly preteen boys, as drag queen entertainers. Though we've heard from Mr. Jack Nagler, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation Ombudsman, and Miss Sandra Kleinfeld, I wonder if she's from County Tipperary, CBC Documentaries Director, they've refused to admit wrongdoing. They've refused to investigate the allegation of child sexual exploitation. They've refused to remove drag kids from their online channel. They've refused to broadcast any opposing perspective. This is despite Mr. Nagler's recent admission. Quote, in July, the program that provoked the biggest response to my office was a documentary called "The Drag Kids," which aired, this is a week in July, on CBC's Docs POV. If I could summarize what they said, it would be this. I'm sorry you feel offended, but we're not going to do anything about it. And then the people are asked to come out to the demonstration. And Mr. Cook continues, some progressives say the new drag is child-friendly. They say it's not a crude and sexualized as the old drag. Well, if you watch even 5 minutes of Drag Kids, you know that's a lie. The only thing new about the new drag is it includes children in its debauchery. Child drag is all about children being exhibited as sexual objects, sexualized performers, for the pleasure of aroused adult audiences. The children involved have been groomed into these roles by trusted adults, usually parents and teachers, in their lives. They're taught erotic dance moves and gestures to make them appeal as sex objects. They're clothed in lewd and sexually suggestive apparel. Young boys are being presented in heavy feminine makeup, wearing high heels, and clothed in scanty women's dresses. It's nothing short of child abuse. Will Canadians stand by and do nothing as this becomes the new normal? We are entering into the new phase of the sexual revolution, the so-called sexual liberation of children. Will we remain silent while this new moral cancer spreads, or will we take up God's calling to be the voice of truth, reason, and righteousness? And he goes on to say, this is what the drag kids phenomenon is all about. It's the narrow edge of the pedophile wedge. Yeah, this is just the beginning of full sexualization and sexual objectification of our children. It's the destruction of childhood innocence and the corruption of any remaining moral values in our society. I was told by one distraught mother that our public schools are even holding drag races. When I first heard that term, I thought it had to do with cool cars and racing. Now, that was another generation, Mr. Cook. Was I ever wrong? A drag race is where school children are encouraged to dress in opposite sex drag and perform in school-wide competitions. Can you believe it? Of course, I'm sure you already have heard about the growing trend of drag queen story hour, and we've seen that in Toronto, taking place at our public libraries. Little children are being read to by adult male drag queens trying to normalize various sexual perversions. My local library in Woodstock, Ontario, this is Mr. Cook, even had a drag queen story hour a couple months back. Who's working to stop all this evil? Who's protecting our children? The police are silent. Child and family services seem to be doing nothing. The Liberal government's apathetic. The CBC is doing nothing. And this is a time here just people to speak up. And here are some of the signs that they were carrying. CBC criminal betrayal of our children. CBC don't promote pedophilia. No kid should be a drag kid. And in his brief talk to the protesters today, and there were about 100 of us, Mr. Cook pointed out that the sexualization of a child by dress or whatever, attempt to make a child, to sexualize a child, especially for the titillation of adults, is a crime, is a definition of child abuse, and that the producers of this program ought to be charged. Now, he's talked to the RCMP, and they say, well, it's just not their jurisdiction. Well, it isn't. It's a federal police force. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation is a federal corporation. No, the thing is, they simply are not interested. A number of eclectic groups were involved today. One were the a new group that has just gained party status, and that was the Canadian Nationalist Party. They had a number of folks there, and also Bill Watcott, the preacher who is under attack by the Ontario government. He was charged by the outgoing Muslim Pakistani Attorney General Yasir Naqvi just before they left office in June of 2018. This was probably at the behest of the then lesbian premier of Ontario, Kathleen Wynne, and he was charged for pamphlets he handed out at the 2016 so-called Gay Pride Parade in Toronto. Anyway, that's a big case that's coming up in January. Also present was a contingent from my own CAFE, Canadian Association for Free Expression. So there was an eclectic group of people there today protesting the waste of taxpayers' money and pedophilia and the proper drag queens, basically, is the sleazy foot in the door to eventually to pedophilia. So this would be a little bit unusual sort of protest. CAFE, of course, is stoutly and strongly for freedom of speech. And I have no trouble with adults in a bar away from the eyes of children if what really turns you on is you want to dress up as a boy. A man dress up as a woman. I think it's disgusting. But that would be one thing in a bar. It's another thing entirely when this is on the is publicly broadcast, and this is using children. And this is taxpayers' money. It was a good protest. It brought together an interesting group of people. And once again, this was a weekend of many protests. Canadians are getting out there in the street. Yesterday, or Saturday rather, Sunday, but Saturday, there was a protest by Pegida. They're an anti-Muslim immigration group in Toronto, and they stood down counter-protest by the usual suspects, the masked Antifa, and so on. So, a good day, and what I would like to do now is to play for you a broadcast by Bauman Yazdanfar. Now, Bauman is the chairman of the party I ran for. That was the Canadians Choice Party. I ran for them provincially in 2018. I got 1.6% of the vote in a campaign where I did not actively campaign. And the one all candidates meeting that there was, I was not allowed to be there. Now, and to be fair, neither was the Libertarian Party candidate. So so that gives you an idea of who Bauman is. Bauman is also a close associate of Dr. James Sears. He had a TV program until they canceled him a couple of years ago, and he's now making a comment about the recent conviction of Dr. James Sears and the editor of Your War News and Leroy St. Germain, who is the publisher. And he sees this as setting a very bad precedent.
Good day, everyone. Today we have Bob and Yasdenfar, the leader of the Canadians' Choice Party of Ontario. He's going to give us some thoughts on the sentencing and the trial process for Your War News.
Hi, Leslie. Thank you very much for taking some of the time out of your busy schedule to just come and talk to me. It's not much of a statement, just some sort of the sorrow for the system. As you know, Your World News is a local publication, is printed in Beaches area for the last 24, maybe more years. And for the last 2-3 years, a few people, few individuals that either loosely or directly connected to the Liberal Party and some other factions of the government, they started to go after this paper. And recently, as far as 6 months or six, actually 8 months ago, they convicted both Leroy St. Germain, the publisher, and Dr. James Sears, the editor-in-chief of the publication. And around 2 weeks ago, Dr. James Sears was sentenced to 1 year in prison. And on Thursday, Leroy St. Germain was sentenced to 1 year house arrest. And Dr. James Sears has spent, I think, around 5 or 6 days in jail. Then he was granted a bail pending his appeal. And Leroy St. Germain, just on Thursday, was confined in his house. As I mentioned in the past discussions, Leslie, the issue is not about these two individuals. If it was a rape case, if it was a murder case, if it was theft, if it was fraud, it was between certain parties that the criminals go to the jail and pay the price. We are talking about two people, one is publishing and one is writing, their thoughts, their opinions. Maybe you agree with those thoughts, maybe you disagree with those thoughts, maybe those thoughts are wrong, maybe those thoughts are right. But who is the judge? Who is the person who makes that judgment? The case is not about these two individuals. The case is mainly because of making a precedent in order to control and stifle any opposition to the government. And this is not going to die today or tomorrow as just a case. This issue is the beginning or opening of a can of worms, the Pandora's box. This will affect every single individual who considers himself or herself a Canadian citizen. Because based on this precedent, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, a month from now, regardless of your occupation, regardless of your education, regardless of your financial or the social status, if you say something that is harmful to a political party who is governing the country or the province or the even municipality, you can be charged under hate speech, and your thoughts would be put under the prosecution and even imprisonment just because you have a different opinion than those who are governing it. So the warning of this case should go not to these two individuals or people who know them. It should go toward every single Canadian who thinks or has a notion that they live under the democratic process. In democracy, because we are not really constitutional republic, like United States. We consider in Canada we have a democracy. At least we have some sort of the electoral democracy. And under the electoral democracy, people with a different opinion should be able to address, voice their thoughts, their opinions, and they express what they believe in to each other in order the discussion starts and either one side convince another side, or at the most they can walk away and let the better man win. That is how the electoral democracy works. One party says, I believe in child support, another party says I don't, and they let the voters decide on that. When you bring court and charge someone under the Criminal Act because he spoke something that you don't like, then we are running on a slippery slope. And it will affect every individual. And my recommendation to any Canadian, any citizen of this country, any resident of this country for that matter, regardless of their status, it's not about me, it's not about them, it is about public, about the populace. If they do not pay attention to this case, if they do not go and think for themselves, that how much money was spent for the trial of this case, of the taxpayers' money, of course, and what they got out of it, one thing, and secondly, they should consider the fact that if they need someone else to tell them how to think, then they are practically, by accepting this case as face value, they are accepting that they are handicapped. Because if I am sitting at my home and I have all sorts of the thoughts, good thoughts, bad thoughts, maybe my bad thoughts is good from perspective of someone else, maybe my good thoughts is bad from perspective of someone else. If I come to a conclusion that I need Liberal Party or Conservative Party or NDP, any one of these mainstream political parties who has been in the power for the last few decades, decide that what is good for me, what goes in my mind, then I must consider myself a handicap. So the question is, for the all Canadians, whether they see this tape or not, or if any other medium available for them that is acceptable to them, the question is two things. One, where my tax money spent and for what and what did I get? The second, does the government or this government or any government consider me to be a handicap, not capable of thinking for myself?
Well, thank you very much for that, Bobbin.
Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me. And that was an interview with Bauman Yazdanfar, who's the leader of the Canadians Choice Party. It's a provincial party in the province of Ontario. I ran for them in the 2018 provincial election. Now, here's an interesting story out of Quebec City. Filth smeared on shop that sells Islamic wares. Oh boy, I think we can already see where this one might be heading. Quebec City police are investigating a possible hate crime after the owner of a boutique that sells Islamic headscarves reported someone smeared feces on the front door. Sergeant Etienne Doyon says that police received a complaint Monday after the vandalism was discovered on a major artery running through the Saint-Sacrement neighborhood. Doyon says it was the only shop targeted in the area and had filed another complaint in June. Police say they're not divulging the exact location of the boutique for security reasons. Why? Now, this is typical of a police state. Why are we not told what the shop is or where they are? you know, there's supposedly some sort of a complaint, a wrong done. Maybe people in the neighborhood, if they're actually told where it was, might have something to add, maybe. The shop sells a variety of clothing, including hijabs and other religious attire. The boutique's owner, a Tunisian man, spoke to Radio Canada or Radio Canada anonymously, expressing concern for the safety of his family, and saying whoever is behind the actions could return at any time. So the owner, who won't give his name, but does come from Tunisia, says he's afraid. This is typical of the poisonous regime we live in Canada, of a politically correct regime, where of course all the privileged minorities are always victims. In this case, victim. in this case, victim. excuse me. the victim supposedly. Now, why would somebody put excrement on the door? Well, any number of reasons. Perhaps they don't like what's going on there. They don't like this Islamic stuff in their neighborhood. And I don't think people should do that. I agree. But that might be one thing. Another thing is the owner has done it to himself for attention and publicity. Sympathy, actually. And don't put it past minorities to do this. Because playing the victim is very profitable. Well, here's one of those stories. You actually don't know whom to cheer for, whom to boo. Imam dropped after anti-Semitic allegations. Now, an imam is a Muslim priest or preacher. The Liberals, that's the Federal Liberal Party, revoked the candidacy of a high-profile candidate in Montreal after a Jewish advocacy group said it uncovered anti-Semitic comments made by the candidate on social media and during a radio interview. Oh boy, you can't have that, can you? Nope, no one's allowed to hold any views critical of Jews or Israel without imperiling themselves for all sorts of punishment. Okay. B'nai B'rith Canada, now this is described as a Jewish advocacy group. No, it's a Jewish lobby group. B'nai B'rith Canada says it found a Facebook post by Hassan Guyer, a well-known former Montreal imam, where he wrote, "The Zionists control American politics," in response to another comment on his Facebook page. Okay, so what's the horrible thing this Muslim preacher, who was the Liberal candidate, briefly, what did he say? He said, "The Zionists control American politics." Oh, is that anti-Semitic? Maybe anti-Jewish? Well, I don't know. My only question is this true? I don't care whether it's anti or pro. Is it true? Well, it's the problem with a very broad statement. Do the Zionists control American politics? That might be a bit too much. They have considerable control, yes. Control of politics in general? Probably no. Do they control America's policy in the Middle East? And there, the answer is a resounding yes. AIPAC, the America-Israel Political Action Committee, can command even presidents like Obama to appear. senators, would-be senators, would-be congressmen, trip over themselves for AIPAC's favor and to pledge 110% support for Israel. Yeah, basically, most American elected federal American officials in the United States are Israel firsters. Not America firsters, Israel firsters. Why? Well, in some cases, it's genuine belief. You know, I think they're wrong, but of course, they've got a right to your belief. In other cases, it's cold, shivering fear. And fear with good reason. AIPAC, the Israeli lobby, has huge sway in the media. If you are highly critical of Israel as a congressman or senator, you will get endlessly slammed in the largely Jewish-controlled mainstream media. And that's terrifying. Secondly, very large Jewish financial power. Jews donate about 70% of the money in the war chest of the Democratic Party, and well over 50% of the money to the Republican Party. Successful politicians and would-be politicians know the score, and the score is this: if you do not support Israel as a foaming of the mouth fanatic, bad things will happen to you. You will be smeared in the Jewish-controlled press, and your reputation perhaps damaged. If there's a juicy little scandal that hadn't yet come to light, it may well, you know, you've had an affair with your secretary, or there are allegations of links to this and that. So it will go badly for you. But equally bad is the fact that money that you had received from Jewish sources will dry up. And nomination campaigns, or I should say primary campaigns, and the general election are in the United States, as elsewhere, are entirely fueled by money. So if you have no money, you have no fun. Worse still, not only will you have less money coming into your campaign, but your opponent in the primary will find himself or herself well funded by the Jewish lobby, or should you manage to make it through the primary and are your party's nominee, your opponent of the other party will be generously funded, and the result, it may well be that you will be gone. This has happened on the few occasions where an American politician has had the nerve to buck the Israeli lobby. One was a very prominent anti-war senator, Senator J. William Fulbright of Arkansas, back in the 70s. Fulbright had been an opponent of the Vietnam War. That was okay. He had been a strong segregationist. He had a very strong base in Arkansas. He was a Democrat. Had been in there for ages and ages. But when he crossed the Israeli lobby, suddenly his funds dried up, and not that very well-known Republican was well-funded, and this Republican won Fulbright's seat, even though Fulbright had been in for ages and being very prominent, being the chairman of the the Foreign Services Committee of the United States Senate, and so on. So these stories are legend. Every would-be politician knows that, and knows that you buck the Israeli lobby at very considerable peril to your life. Okay, so did the imam say something wrong? Well, no. Okay, what else? The imam, B'nai B'rith says the, we're not there yet. B'nai B'rith linked to an Internet Archive site with the now deleted post. The organization also discovered a Radio Canada interview where Greer said Jared Kushner, the Jewish son-in-law of U.S. President Donald Trump, was encouraging an Israel-first agenda as opposed to Trump's America First program. Well, is it true? That's all I need to know. Well, Jared Kushner is very, very strongly pro the ultra-Zionist Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. All I ask, is it true? Well, I would say it's substantially true. B'nai B'rith says the accusation the Jewish people are more concerned about Israel than the country they live in is a long-standing anti-Semitic slur. Again, I ask, is it true? And I would say the Jewish lobby in the United States puts the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. A very strong case can be made that a more neutral policy in the Middle East would benefit America more. America has thrown in with a poisonous thorn in the flesh of the Middle East, and that's the state of Israel, inhabited by people who came from other countries. They are occupying much of the land that belongs to other people, namely the Palestinians, Christian and Muslim. The support for Israel has been hugely problematic. And I think a strong case can be made for the fact that the support for Israel is not putting America first. Trump himself was recently accused of trafficking in this trope by accusing Jewish Americans who don't vote Republican as disloyal. This actually has nothing to do with what happened to Eva. Anytime you see the word trope, you know this is Zionist propaganda. This is a very unusual English word that hardly ever occurs other than as a term to cover accusations made against Zionists. It's a trope. And a trope is not, you may think it means a lie. It's not. It's a theme. Quote, the anti-Semitic tropes of Zionist controlling government and of dual loyalty are two of the more abhorrent expressions of paranoid anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, said Michael Mostyn, the chief executive officer of B'nai B'rith Canada, in a press release on Friday. Okay. The anti-Semitic tropes, those are themes, of Zionists controlling governments and of dual loyalty. Zionists controlling governments. Well, Zionists have great influence in government, certainly in the United States, certainly in Great Britain and in Canada. In Great Britain, recently, all the living prime ministers, including the president, rather, she just left, but Theresa May, the still living conservative prime minister like John Major, David Cameron, and the former Labour prime ministers, all endorsed an eyesore that's being built, that's proposed right in the shadow of Parliament, some of the most valuable and sacred political land in the United Kingdom. And this is a Holocaust memorial. Now, why would all parties, all existing, all remaining leaders, conservative or Labour, endorse this? Because they know who has the huge financial power in the United Kingdom. Whether you're left-wing Labour or supposedly right-wing conservative, you know where the money is going to come from. And they are prepared, they're in fact celebrating the construction of a Holocaust memorial, which, looked at objectively, is absurd. Why would you devote some of those sacred land in Britain to build a memorial to people who were not British, namely European Jews, who did not die in Britain, they died allegedly in Europe, and whose the perpetrators of this so-called Holocaust were not British, they were others, primarily German, or so that's the story goes. So you build a monument to victims who were not British, who were not victimized by the British, and the victimization did not happen in Britain. Absurd. Yet they might equally build a monument there to the Huron Indians who were genocided in the 17th century by the Iroquois, where I live in Ontario, in Canada. Equally irrelevant to Britain, and equally offensive to have on the most sacred of British political soil. Well, why do they do it? Well, because of substantial Zionist control of the British political process. So, according to Mr. Mostyn, the anti-Semitic tropes of Zionist control and government of dual loyalty are two of the more abhorrent expressions of paranoid anti-Jewish conspiracy theories. Paranoid. I only ask, is it true? If it's not true, fine, dismiss it. And of course, dual loyalty. Well, of course it's dual loyalty. There's absolutely no question about it. Quote, following a thorough internal review process that's been ongoing for a few weeks, the Liberal Party of Canada has made the decision to revoke the candidacy of Mr. Guyette for the riding of Saint-Léonard, Saint-Michel, in the false election, a Liberal spokesman, Parker Lund, said in a statement. Lund said Guyette's comments are not aligned with the values of the Liberal Party. As I say, it's hard to know who to cheer for. There's a picture of Imam Hassan Guyev with something that looks like a white bowl on his head. Anyway, the spokesman for the Liberal Party goes on to say, it was okay to have this guy run for the Liberal Party in the interest of diversity until he crossed an even more important value than diversity, and that is the requirement that you be 110% pro-Israel. Anti-Semitism is unfortunately all too real in Canada and threatens the safety and security of Jewish Canadians. As political leaders, we need to speak out and condemn it at every opportunity, said the Conservative. Always, so that's not the Liberals. The Conservative leader, Andrew Scheer. Guyette won the Liberal nomination in Saint-Léonard, Saint-Michel. So you quickly see that it doesn't matter what the local people want. He won a nomination fair and square. Members of the local Liberal Party had various choices and voted to make him their candidate. Silly buggers, but okay, that's what they did. But anyway, the world of people doesn't matter. He's gone. He's history. And notice how other leaders trip over themselves to be even more pro-Israel than the Liberals. Anti-Semitism is unfortunately all too real in Canada and threatens the safety and security of Jewish Canadians. Really? Really? The safety and security? The previous story I read to you was some anonymous Muslim, of course, a store that had, doo-doo apparently put on the outside. Is the safety and security of Jewish Canadians really endangered because a man thinks that American politics is, or at least American foreign affairs, is dominated by Zionist interests? I mean, this is more of the boo-hoo-hoo. If you say it's my group, I feel so gay, it's insecure, I feel afraid. Now, I'm not denying that there are people who threaten violence against various people, including primarily patriots like myself. And nobody should be physically threatened, regardless of their background, their religion, or whatever. But this is just more absolute soap opera. There is no threat. And you've got to take the person's word. Did the imam threaten Jews? Well, he didn't threaten anybody. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Take my musical break. Let's change the pace a little bit. Gonna play some songs by a man who made his name on Hee Haw. He brought us a special type of country and western music to Nashville. This is the Bakersfield Sound from the agricultural area, fertile agricultural area of of Central California. This is the late Buck Owens and the Buckaroos, and this is some of the Bakersfield sound, Buck Owens.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna live here again. Things are gonna be the way they were before. Love's gonna live here again. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here again. No more loneliness, only happiness. Love's gonna live here again. Singing. Love's gonna live here again. I hear bees humming and I know the days are coming. Love's gonna live here again. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here again. No more loneliness. Only happiness. Love's gonna live here again. Love's gonna live here again. Say careless how I feel. How many of these
And this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on lightresistanceradio.com. Well, back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sound off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride. dear, the Maple Leaf forever. God save our Queen and heaven bless the Maple Leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the Maple Leaf forever.
Forever.